This lovely lady is my wife, and she's going to come and share it with you, and then we've got others coming. And let me say while she's coming, I said this last night, I don't want anybody to be offended if you don't have time to speak. Please. I know there's so much in all of you, and I know you could, but our time situation here, just don't let us do something we would do otherwise. So the designated people that has been asked to speak, if there is time, and somebody suggested this, that the ministry that is speaking here will be up here sometime during the meeting, talking and discussing. If you have questions, to ask them. Am I saying this right now?
Mm-hmm.
You tell them.
The panel discussion.
Yeah.
We were discussing about having a panel discussion between us, and if you have questions, you can write them down on a piece of paper that you would like addressed by one of us to discuss. And write them down, because it would go faster if they're written down, and then we could look at them and get to the questions we can. Then it would be if everybody tried to tell their, you know, mention their question during it. So that's what I'm not sure just yet when and how we're going to work that in, but we're hoping to get that done. Sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to say first of all that I am thrilled that all of y'all have come out and joined us here in Arkansas, and to honor Steve and Connie for once again putting together a meeting for us to come to.
Yes.
We thank you very much, and we love y'all.
We love you all too.
Yes, and we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for y'all, so thank y'all for doing this for us. Everybody last night that spoke danced all around some of the stuff that I had been wanting to share. And I just knew Lynn was going to jump in there and cover part of it. And he just danced around it, just kept dancing all around it. And I thought, well, he's laying me a pretty good place to get going. But it was awesome last night, wasn't it?
Yes.
So enjoyed it. I woke up Thursday morning and just was hearing in me, just as I was waking up, this. And I grabbed my phone and typed it in so that I wouldn't forget it, because you know how you always are when you hear that. You think, oh, that's so good, I won't forget that. And then you can't remember what it was later. Well, I mean, I might be the only one that does that, but that happens to me. Man has imaged God in man's image instead of seeing God in God's image, seeing man in God's image. Most of us here have slowly chipped away at our idols of God. Some of us have blasted right through it. But hopefully, by the time this weekend is over, we can destroy the remaining imaginations we have of them idols.
Amen.
So that's what we have done through the time, and that's what got us trapped. We imagined God in man's image. And the God that I was taught about as a child, and the religion that I grew up in, and the God that I was taught about, was the God that man had created in their image. He was a very judgmental God, kept a record, which is some of the things we've covered last night. He loved me unconditionally, but he had a whole line of conditions I had to meet.
Yeah.
That never quite made sense to me, but that's what they kept telling me. It was an unconditional love. If. And so I want us today, I want to try to point out in this thing that we titled God Man Made Flesh. It's like it's been said already, when we can begin to see who we are, we will know who God is and what God is. When we begin to know what God is, then we begin to see who we are. It just works together. It just works together. It comes together for us. And we are not who we've been told we are. We all know that. There's so many movies that's been produced over the years, if any of you are movie people that like to watch movies, that have been screaming the message to us.
Yeah.
They really have. And we have, until we begin to get awake, just thought they were entertainment. But I just keep hearing The Matrix over and over and over and over. How we have been so trapped in the Matrix. And we've got to break through that Matrix. I mean, we get to see the difference. We have seen levels and levels and come awake. And it's like in our awakening that we have called our awakening, we have been such a deep sleep that the first time we were shaken and we was a little bit awakened, oh man, that was exciting. And we could go with it for a little while, but it wasn't long till we were kind of lured back into that sleep again. So I don't think that the awakening is a one moment thing, that all of a sudden we're just awake and we know everything. We have over this, even though we know it all in here, we haven't been aware that we know it all in here, and we have not grabbed a hold of it all. And I don't know that we could at one time. Oh, I think we'd explode. You know, because there's just so much to get a hold of. And so in this coming to know who I am, in that includes me being taught that the kingdom of God is within me. Well, you know, that sounds really good and spiritual, and you know, we've said, okay, yeah, that's good. It's in me. But we've never stopped to just really, until I think in these last few years, just really say, well, where is it at in me? What is it that's in me that's the kingdom? Mm-hmm. Well, let me study me. He said, seek ye first the kingdom. Well, I think that's seek ye. Look at you. Look inside. Mm-hmm. Find that kingdom. Look at that. And we know that in our terminology may not be able to express exactly all of that we want to say it is, but we know we're spirit, we're light being, which we've called spirit, we've called light, that is who we are, that is who we always will be. I was that before I came into this flesh. I'll be that when I leave this flesh, and I'll be that if I choose to come back into flesh again. I'm still going to be that light being, no matter what form I might decide to take in matter. I'm still a light being. And the thing is that this flesh, there is nothing, if God is in all, and all is God, and there's nothing that's not God, then that means this flesh is still spirit too. And we've tried to say, you know, we've been separated so much, saying spirit, body, and soul, and not realizing that this flesh is simply a form of spirit that has got into a vibrational frequency that can be visible to this eyesight. And so you can see me and relate to me, and I can experience in a physical realm what it's like to touch, feel, taste, to have emotions, to have the five senses, to enjoy a physical reality. And in that, I am expanding myself and creation by experiencing these things that we experience. It's not good, bad, right, wrong. It just is. It just is. And we're here for expansion, you know, for all of creation, not just for our own self. And the story, as Lynn was saying last night, has been told through all cultures, generations, for eons and eons and eons. It has been told over and over again using different names of different spiritual beings, enlightened beings, or whatever that has come forth. It's wrote in the heavens. And if any of you were like I was when I grew up in a United Pentecostal church, they're very strict and very dogmatic. And there's just these guidelines you're not supposed to, well, and I guess they're all kind of these guidelines you don't get out of. But studying the heavens was one of them things you don't do. Now, they could read to you and tell you that the heavens declare and that all of this, you know, as above, so below. But just don't get into studying the heavens because that's witchcraft and, you know, that's evil and you're just going to get trapped into something that's not good for you. Well, if my story is up there in the sky about who I am, I think it'd pay for me to get to study it a little bit.
Take a look at it.
See what it's saying. See what it's about to me. I love to listen to Lynn and the way he breaks down and takes you back to an ancient language to tell you words that they mean and where they originated from and how, and give you a whole new insight of what the scripture that has been passed down to us is telling us. Because as I think most of you would agree, that King James version of the Bible that we all know is a Christianity book. It is a book to convert us to Christianity. That's the way it's been translated. That's not the way it was supposed to be. That's not what it was intended, but that's what it has become. And so for a lot of us that has been coming out of some of that stuff, one of the first things we want to do is just get rid of it. And I had to lay it down for a good long while because of the images that had been in me all of these years that had been placed in me from the teachings. You know, I had read it through I don't know how many times. We had to learn scriptures. We had to learn that. You know, I could quote you all the books of the Bibles in no time. I could, you know, I do good to find them now. But, you know, we had so much and we had so many images that we were told that these things meant and said to us. So when I was coming out of that.
That's us worshiping the image of the beast that it speaks of in Revelation.
It is. Yeah. And he comes to life for us.
That's
yes.
Right.
It is. And so I had to lay that down for a while until I could pick it back up and no longer see them images. To begin to see.
Amen.
See some truths in there that were hidden, that were mysteries, that were coming alive to me. And I'll be honest, that man over there has been very instrumental in me seeing a whole lot more in there than I think I would have done on my own. And I thank God that somehow our paths all crossed.
Yes.
Yeah, I honor you, Lynn Hayes, for
yes.
The study. The studying and research and all of that you have put in has not been in vain. I mean, I know you probably have felt it in your life for you, but the many lives that you have touched and changed because of your teaching has not been in vain. It is amazing, some of this stuff. And so when I get in his presence, I just want to pick his brain constantly. And I want to know, okay, tell me about this. And they came by our house after they left the last Arkansas meeting they did with Mike and Kat. Mark and Kathy. Yeah, that's Mike over there. And they were going to spend a few days with us. And Sunday evening they got there, and then we sat around the kitchen table. And, man, we had some good talk. Had some good time discussing and didn't want to end it and go to bed. And then the next morning they got a phone call and had to leave early. Oh, man, you talk about disappointed. I was not. I said, I'm not ready for you to go. I'm not through picking your brain yet. We were disappointed. We didn't want him to leave because it was awesome to get to sit and pick his brain and to hear things and all. But what I want to just briefly show you is this right. Going to be on the board. So we're going to have to, oh, are y'all ready for a shift?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, then just kind of shift your chairs.
Do you have a microphone there? Yes, right here. Here. Is that microphone?
Helen.
He's got my picture. Good for him.
Okay.
Am I in your way?
I am no artist by any means. So, I mean, if I had a lot of time, I might draw it where you could understand it a little bit better. So y'all have to bear with me on what I want to bring out.
We are, use that one over there and we can see it better.
You can?
I wasn't a very good circle anyway.
I'll try to remember to talk into this. Okay, that is a circle, even though it's a lopsided circle. The stars up there, the astrological signs that have been assigned to the stars, every one of us are born under one of them. There's 12. We all have a sign that we were born in. I was in January, the end of January, so I'm an Aquarius. And I'm an airhead, because that's an air sign, and I love to stay in the heavens. I don't really like to come to Earth and have to do earthly things, do. I do not like to have to cook, clean, and do all the everyday things. I don't want to be messed with that, because I don't want to get out of heavens long enough for my feet to touch the earth. And so sometimes that is not a good thing. But it just is what it is. That's all I have to say. But we all have an astrological sign, every one of us. And some of you may know yours and some of you may not. I am not by any means studied all what they all mean and what they all say and all of that. I think there's some good things that we can find out about ourselves if we start looking up and start kind of seeing some of that about us. But the scripture in the Bible that says we were born... how does it say that? Born in iniquity and created, or did I say that wrong?
Shaped in iniquity.
Yeah. Born in sin and created in iniquity. Or just, how does that say that?
Born in sin.
Born in sin and then created in iniquity. Shaped in iniquity. It's basically saying the same thing twice. It's saying the same thing two different times. It's just repeating itself. And that sin there, he can tell you exactly what that word is. I haven't studied the Hebrew to know. But that word there is meaning that it's an incomplete. It's something that's incomplete. There's 12 signs to the zodiac. There's 12 months of the year. There's the 12 disciples. There's 12. We've seen that often in the scriptures, talking about the 12s. We were conceived and then was birthed. He was in a normal cycle, 9 months. From conception to birth was 9 months. So to be born in sin and created and shaped in iniquity means that there was 3 months in there that I have to bridge a gap in. Because I didn't pick up them 3 months, any of the traits, any of the things in them 3 months to complete a cycle. I was born short of 3 months of completing a cycle.
Amen.
That is simply how we were born in sin and created in iniquity. It shaped in iniquity. It does not mean that when we got here, like that little bit precious baby over there is already a sinner. That the church has told us has already done something bad, and so it's got to be saved. And that's what we've been told all of these years, that we have something wrong with us. Well, it just means that it doesn't take us 12 months to be birthed. It only took us 9. So there's a gap. Every one of us needs to find that gap from the time you were birthed until that gap when you, you know, it's not hard to figure out the next 3 months and you see the gap and work out what that is for you and how that will complete your cycle. It will mean different things for different people. So I kind of want to show you a little bit, give you a picture of the cycle that it's talking about and how that works through the astrological sign and what that is in creating me that I was formed. It's telling that story of me up there and what was how I was formed and what it's about with me. When I was born on January the 26th, I brought in every bit of the energy and the traits and everything that was in that moment in time. I had that all, I brought that all in with me. I captured in me as this physical being. Does that make sense? There was no other moment that I could have brought in and had the traits, the personalities to be the being that I am than that very moment, that day, that moment in time that I was birthed as Avis. And I chose to come here to experience a physical realm for the experience of it, to know what it was like to taste, to know what it was like to feel, to love on a physical realm. I don't believe I came here to learn about an unconditional love, because I am that unconditional love, and I was that before I came, and I'll always be that. So why should I learn about something I already am? I think I was wanting to experience what it was like to have that type, to have a love that was in a physical realm that we had, and to learn how to integrate that with the kind of love, that the unconditional love that I am. Because I just can't see that. Why is my journey to learn to love if that's what I... Why would I come to learn to love if that's what I was before I ever left? That doesn't make sense to me. That's one of the things that Lynn says, that, you know, it just doesn't make sense. I already knew that perfectly. Didn't I? If that's what I am. So I think I wanted to know what it was like to do it on this realm, this dimension. And then to bring that dimension up into a higher place of experience. And I think one of the hardest lessons in the physical realm is to understand what that unconditional love is. Because we have been told, and we have so many limitations on our own love, for one of the reasons is because of the image that we've been told that God was. So as we think He is, you know. If I don't like something, then He must really not like it. He is going to punish it. You know? It's a good thing He's not as mixed up as we are. Because, I mean, I'll be honest, there's a few people I'd fry really quick.
You would call fire down
on them? I would call. I'd have called that fire down on them kids in one time or another. But we've all been there. But, so what I want to do is to kind of show, and I'm not by any means trying to give you a new doctrine or tell you anything new. I just want to kind of, maybe you, some of you that haven't seen this or know, to start questioning some things, to find out for yourself who you are, to find out more about that kingdom that is within you, that we've talked about, you know, we're not going to reach it anywhere else. We don't go in and find it. We're just not. We're not even going to know who God is if we don't go in and look at that kingdom or what God is. He's not who. So, here I am. Oh, it says it must be going to the center of that. Didn't quite get there. I need the ruler and compass and all of that stuff. There we go. That's how I can do it. And this is a sign that Lynn has used a time or two. Okay, maybe I did that right now. That it particularly matters exactly where I start on this with which sign, but I'm just going to start here because that's how I've got it broken down here. And this is going to be Aries. Aries. I will use me as an example since I've already told you that I'm an Aquarian. Aquarius, straight across, is Leo. And if you notice, Taurus and Scorpio, there, that makes a perfect cross. You can see it here probably better with Virgo and Pisces and Gemini and Sagittarius. See the cross? Mm-hmm. Each one has got a problem. Mm-hmm. The third cross is Cancer. Cancer and Capricorn and Libra and Aries. There's three crosses in the zodiac sign. Does that kind of sound familiar, three crosses?
Mm-hmm.
Right. We each got, or each one of us is on one of them cross. And we got two crosses across on each side of us. That's the three crosses. The three crosses that we have been told about. Are the head starts right here of man, and man is the picture of man is around this circle with his feet coming back and touching the back of his head right here. And each one of these signs are speaking of an aspect or a part, something in this physical body that is talking about how man is made. And every one of us are on this wheel right here. And we all have that cross. And I'm going to put this down. And what I want to show you is, you know, in my cross, I am the symbol that was talked about in Scripture, I believe, many times. The man, the four beasts, the lion, the ox, and this was called the eagle, which is Scorpio. We know it as a scorpion, but in the Scripture, this sign was referred to as the eagle. Am I correct? Yes. And so the four-sided beast, the four-faced beast that it's talking about, is simply talking about that cross right there. That's what it's talking about. And it referred to that many a times because they also were talking about looking to the age of Aquarius. So that was the age it was talking about. So it was referring to that cross, that time to look to. In reference to the Bible, through the Old Testament and all, when you start seeing the symbol, when they're talking about the bull, many times you're talking about the sacrifice of the ox and the bull. You're talking about that because they were in the time, the age of Taurus. And then when it moved, it became the Aries. They talk about the lamb a lot, and the ram, you know, because that's the age they were in. So that's what they were referring to. And then when the Piscean age came, it was the fishes. That's where Christianity got its, it was that age. Now we have moved into the age of Aquarian. I guess they're going to be talking about a water pot. This is man's age of spirit. You know, it's a different, so we go around this cycle. We go around this cycle. And this Aries is the top of our head. It's talking about the top of our head. It's the crown. It's where we have connection with that crown, that Aries age. And the Taurus is our neck. It's the neck. The bull, you know, you've heard bullheaded and, you know, all of that. You know, you start kind of, you'll hear some of the little sayings and kind of realize why they've gotten what they're saying. It's because somebody knew this cycle of how of thinking about man. And Gemini is speaking. It's the arms, the twins. It's the arms. And Leo, you've heard the heart of a lion. You know, the lion. Leo the lion. It's the heart. When they're talking about Leo, they're talking about the heart. That aspect is the heart of me. Let's see, where am I at? Oh, did I skip Cancer? I skipped Cancer, didn't I? And that's the breast. That's the breast, the chest area. That's what Cancer stands for. Libra. No, we're saying I'm Virgo. Virgo is the solar plexus area, the bowel area, that birthing area. You know, that's where. Does that make sense? The birth that they're talking about. Libra is what they call the brains, which is the back here of the muscle that comes this area in our back, the strength in our back. Yeah, that's where it's talking about Libra. Scorpio is the loins. It looks like lion. The loins, reproduction area, the loins. Sagittarius is the thigh area. Capricorn, sorry, is the knees on man. The Aquarius is the legs, and Pisces is the feet. So when you look at that sign up there, and you see all of them signs that we've been told to stay away from them, if you start looking at them, you can see how man was created. When you start putting them in you and start seeing what that is saying about you. Now, as I told you, we all have a cross. We all have four of them, that cross. So you can kind of see what traits that kind of we pulled in with us, them four. We'll have strengths in some of them and weaknesses in some of them areas. And then we're in that birthing womb from whatever month, 9 months. And so we picked up some strengths and some traits in them 9 months from the signs that we were in that month, in them areas. And I know one of the things that an Aquarian has to be careful with is they have some weak ankles. I can have twist my ankle very, very easy. And so that is one of the weaknesses. But see, what is the where Aquarius speaks of in the body is the legs. And sometimes it will affect my ankle. I mean, it affects my ankles. Because, see, sometimes we'll have weaknesses in these areas, but sometimes we will have strengths in these areas. And so when you start looking at your body, look at your kingdom. This body was fearfully and wonderfully made. It was no accident that it's made like it is. It is the best piece of machinery that has been made, and man cannot do it. Man cannot, they try to clone it, they cannot come up with that. Solomon's temple, that speaks of the temple that was made without sand, without hammer, without noise, was us in the womb. We were created. That's the temple that was being created with no man's hands. You know, no man had control. Once that sperm and that egg met, and like he was telling us about last night, and it started that reproduction, started them cells beginning to multiply and reproduce. They began to form this man, this being in there, this creation that was creating a Solomon's temple for God to dwell, because it was God being come down to be in a physical form to express himself individually in each and every one of us. We all have our own unique expression. Every one of us do. Our own unique thought pattern and own unique experiences. Barbara was telling us the experience of the deer last night, and I was just sitting there bawling. Something in me, I could just sit there and feel that as if I was right there in the story with her. She just drawed me in, and I just felt that. And there was probably something in my experience somewhere that caused me to be able to feel that somebody else might not have felt that. You see what I'm saying? It was a unique, everything is so unique to each of us. Everybody hears things different. If you don't believe it, after the deal, we can tell you all to write 10 things down that this meetings were about to you, and I promise you, we're not going to all repeat the same 10 things. Because we will all hear different things, we will all understand it differently, and some will say, you know, I really like da-da-da-da-da, and others will say, oh, really, I didn't get anything off that. I like da da, you know. And it's okay, it's just because we're going to relate to them by where we've been and what we've been through. That's because we're so unique individuals of that precious substance. I love that. That I'm unique, but I'm still that precious substance of God. You know what? The way I got over my fear of flight was I used to get on a plane and I would sit there and kind of convince myself and quote scriptures, you know, I'm not a fear. Yeah, I mean, you did not give me a spirit of fear, but da 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 da, you know, and I'm not afraid and I'm not panicking. And I try to tell myself this over and over and over and over. The whole time panic's kind of rising in me, you know, like, you know, I'm ripping the seat. And then we feel that shake and you feel it, and oh God, the sky's fixing to drop out from under me, you know. I just experienced all of this fear and panic, and I try to, you know, no, it's not going to be bad, it's going to be okay, and I wouldn't look out the window, so I couldn't see it. I couldn't see the planet Earth under me, to know how far I was away, how bad the crash would be if I crashed, you know, how far I had to fall, and all that kind of stuff, and I would just experience this, and so I had to fly to Orlando from Dallas, Texas. I had a grandbaby that was born in Daytona Beach, and she was put in intensive care. Needle, how do you say that?
Needle.
Yeah, that one, intensive care. And my son and his wife, young, noodle parents, didn't know no difference, and I couldn't get there in time for the birth because I think she had her a little bit earlier than she was supposed to. He calls and says, Mom, we haven't got to see her in a day. He said, we don't know what's going on. I said, I'm on the next flight there. I mean, that was not normal. You just don't let parents know what's going on and they don't get to see their baby. You know, they took her away. They don't know anything. They haven't shown where she's at. They don't know nothing. So I get on the flight and I go down there and I'm getting on the plane and then this panic starts again, you know. I'm afraid and I'm by myself. And so I don't have anybody to help reassure me of all, you know, that these fears are not real. And so I start in with this and I heard in my spirit, I heard within me say, don't you know that everything you experience, I'm getting to experience? That's how I experience it. And when I heard that, I thought, well, then why am I afraid? Do you need to experience fear? And you know, it was not until the flight back that I realized I didn't have any more panic at all. It was just a comfort to me to know that my experiences was what Spirit was getting to experience. The whole gamut of my emotions. It couldn't experience some. It was an experience that was unique to me and Spirit. Does that make sense? Your experience is a unique experience for what we would call God to get to experience in the way that you do it. So it doesn't matter if we want to call it a good experience, a bad experience, an evil
whatever we want to name it, it is an emotion and experience that he could not have had without you and the way that he had it with you. And so, therefore, it makes it so much easier to not get in a panic or to not worry, to not... And it also helps me so much not to let my emotions rule me anymore. Just to experience it, just to feel that, be okay with that emotional feel. Experience it for the moment and then let it go on to whatever's next and not get hung up there and trapped in a place of anger or a place of disappointment or a place of resentment or a place of, you know, just pain, just a place of just pure pain that every time I go visit that experience again, I feel the pain all over again. It has helped me to release some of that where I don't feel that pain again. I felt it once. It did its job. Okay, I can move on. Because we don't have to experience the same things over and over and over and over. You know, we seem to because we get hung up in them. But when we learn to let them go, but that's what helped me is knowing that my unique experiences, that God was filling them. That's how he got to fill them. Because, you know, this thing that we call God is not, it's kind of like what Ray read out of that book. I may not know exactly what it is, but I know what it isn't. But the one thing that I can understand in my limited understanding right now is that it is my vocabulary cannot, it is the unnameable, you can't really put it in words, but it's everything. It's the energy that would just move, that has moved, and everything is created in it, in that energy, because of different levels of vibration, different frequencies. It pulled this body together. It's pulled us together to create a body. It's pulled the energies and the frequencies together to create a tree, to create water, to, you know, it's just, it's all of that. And you know what? It does its job, or it's not a job, but it does its thing all the time. And it never requires anything from that is created by it. It has never once stopped and said, you know what? You're going to blow up and fall apart if you don't turn around and worship me right now. And if you don't get my name right, then you're no longer going to be able to live. It doesn't do that. It doesn't have any requirements. It's like the sun that shines upon the earth and gives life from its heat and its light to the earth and to us that's on the earth. It helps our survival. And the sun never says to the earth, you owe me now, or to us, you owe me. I'm going to call a day of worship, and if you're not found worshiping me that day, then you're not going to longer get to enjoy my sunshine. It never has a requirement. It just does what it's supposed to do with nothing back. That's exactly what that energy, that source, that being, that is God, does. And it says, you know what? If you want to experience things that we have kind of called into our life, some of it by knowing, some of it by unknowing, if you want to have that experience, you go right ahead. And it's not going to say that's going to be good, you're going to enjoy it, or it's not going to say, no, don't do that, because you're not going to like that, and it can destroy you. It's just going to say you're free. You do it. If that's the road you want to go down. We were visiting with Gary and Carol. They came to our house for a home meeting, and he was telling us about his daughter, and he told her, he made the statement, and I'll let him tell his story, but this one statement in there, whatever you want to do, do it and be the best at it that you can be. Whatever it is, you're free, whatever that is, just be the best at it that you can be. Anything that you want it to enjoy it the best that you can enjoy it. You know, and that is life. We have been trying, and we put so much pressure on ourselves, stress on ourselves, that's very unnecessary. So anyway, I just wanted to kind of briefly go over that. There's so much more to it that Lynn, can we crack open for you some more? You're welcome. But anyway, that's just what was on my heart to share with you, to give you something else to think about, something else to begin to look at who you are and see the pattern up there. See the pattern. It's speaking to you. It's telling you who you are. We just haven't learned how to read it. So let's study the pattern, read the pattern, and we'll learn. We can go in and see this kingdom for what it is.